And this is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep here with local and statewide news. Good afternoon. The local advocates who filed a petition with the city and borough of Juneau to put harder limits on cruise ship tourism have withdrawn it. That means voters won't see the question on the municipal ballot this fall. According to Carla Hart, one of the advocates who filed the petition, they weren't able to gather the minimum of 2,720 signatures before yesterday's deadline. Hart says she still thinks there's a lot of community support for limiting the growth of cruise ship tourism, but there just wasn't for this particular ballot measure.
In the conversations that I had with people, I don't think that it's the right initiative. And I think that we need to regroup and refocus and take on the myriad of different pieces that are really adversely impacting our lives.
The proposed initiative sought to impose a 5-ship daily limit, cap the annual number of cruise ship visitors at 1.5 million a year, and limit daily cruise ship visitors to 16,000 people on most days and 12,000 on Saturdays. It also sought to shorten the season. Those mirror agreements that the city has already signed with cruise lines. The difference is that those agreements are non-binding and voluntary, while the petitioners sought to make them law. Hart said she may revive an iteration of last election's failed ship-free Saturday in a future election. But in the meantime, she says she and other advocates plan to keep pushing for city officials and assembly members to take action.
I think that these efforts are important for keeping pressure on and showing that if things don't improve for the citizens, we do have options and we are willing to exercise them.
There are three other proposed ballot propositions currently still in the signature gathering phase. Those petitioners seek to cap the property tax rate, to remove sales tax on food and utilities, and to make in-person voting the default again. The Juneau Assembly passed an ordinance last night mandating that the Juneau Police Department release body-worn camera footage no more than 30 days after a city police officer shoots someone. Juneau residents asked for the change following two fatal shootings by officers last year. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
It's a policy that's been nearly a year in the making. Juneau Police Chief Derek Boss says its approval by the Assembly on Monday night is a step toward more transparency between the department and the community.
I think this opens up the door for us to be transparent at a faster pace with the community, to be open with the community. And if we make a mistake, we still want to be transparent. We want to be open and honest with our community and build that public trust.
Juneau officers have been wearing body-worn cameras since 2017. But there's nothing on the books that dictates when the footage must be released to the public. Juneau residents advocated for that to change after two fatal shootings last year. No one from the public testified at the meeting Monday night. Last year, it took the department about 60 days to release the body-worn camera footage after both shootings. The department did not release the footage until after the state's Office of Special Prosecutions investigated the shootings. Both times, the state ruled that the officers involved were justified in their use of lethal force and declined to press charges. Boss says he's confident that the department will be able to meet the new policy's deadline if a shooting occurs in the future.
You know, 95% of the time, maybe even higher than that, The 30 days is going to be a non-issue and there won't be concerns.
But Juneau's new timeline is much more rigid than what the state's Office of Special Prosecutions requests, which is at least 60 days. According to Angie Kemp, the director of the Criminal Division of the Alaska Department of Law, releasing footage early could taint ongoing investigations. She spoke to the Assembly about the proposed policy at a meeting in March.
From my standpoint and the way that this is currently drafted, I do believe that it's going to affect criminal prosecution in the community of Juneau. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say it because I have some interest in keeping body-worn cameras from being released, other than the effect that it might have on our ability to do our jobs.
The Anchorage Police Department's policy mandates that footage be released within 45 days of the incident, but they've only met that deadline about a quarter of the time since it went into place. According to a spokesperson for the department, for at least the past two shootings, the delays came at the request of the Office of Special Prosecutions. Juneau's policy only allows the state to request up to a 10-day delay for releasing footage, and only for a narrow set of circumstances, like if someone's safety could be at risk by releasing it. The city manager and the police chief can also request a 10-day delay in certain circumstances, and they would be required to provide a reason to the public. The new policy will go into effect in 30 days. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Another Ketchikan school board member has stepped down. Tom Hewitt abruptly resigned from the board in an email to the board president on Friday. Hewitt's resignation comes on the heels of the district superintendent, the former school board president, and another school board member all resigning in a span of 3 months. The Ketchikan School Board has been under fire recently for their decision to restructure the island's elementary schools to meet a growing budget deficit. There have been protests. The public comment sections of school board meetings have been full of parents and community members angry about the potential impacts of the move. Hewitt said in a text message to KRBD that he was resigning because he'd behaved unprofessionally in a communication with a district employee and, quote, didn't want to drag the board into further controversy. Hewitt said the dialogue on social media and at school board meetings has, quote, sunk to new lows and that he felt himself, quote, sinking to that level. Hewitt said that the school board has a lot of challenges ahead. It is unclear when the school board will fill the vacant seats, but they are expected to accept or reject Hewitt's resignation at their next meeting on May 28th. And the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, failed a federal test that saves the state millions of dollars. It's not yet clear why the state failed, but the state will now be on the hook for more than $80 million if it can't appeal the decision. Alaska school districts receive money from the federal government called Federal Impact Aid. That's money that makes up for lost revenue from land that can't be taxed, like federal, military, or Alaska Native-owned land. If the state passes a test to show that it's funding education equitably, called a disparity test, it can put a lot of that impact aid toward its own contribution to school districts. But a letter sent by the Federal Department of Education last week says the state failed the disparity test this year. Alexi Painter is the director of the state's Legislative Finance Division. He says Alaska is the only state that still uses a disparity test, and it's getting harder to pass.
The increasing difficulties with passing the test is a lot because education funding has gotten more complicated over the last 5 or 10 years.
Painter says the state isn't required to take the test. School districts that qualify for the federal money will get it regardless of the results. But the test allows the state to put federal money toward what it's supposed to pay for school districts, basically saving the state millions. Failing the test forces the state to pay those funds itself and its obligation to schools. But there are other calculations the state's education department can make to pass the test after requesting a hearing. If it continues to fail the test, the state could owe districts nearly $81 million for the next fiscal year. Painter says the way the budget is structured means that the money would automatically be appropriated for schools. But he says there isn't enough money budgeted for that. This isn't new for DEED. The state initially failed the test in fiscal year 2022, but it's allowed to request a hearing with the federal government to figure out a way to pass the test. Painter says the state was able to change how it accounts for transportation funding to pass the test last time.
I would expect them to do something similar where they hold a hearing and then ultimately resubmit a test. Hopefully they can find a way to reconfigure and pass.
DEED officials didn't respond to questions about its plans to address the failed test. The test is really complicated, but basically, the state passes if the funding gap between school districts is less than 25%, after getting rid of the top and bottom 5% of funded districts. The test also doesn't include all of the state's education funding in its calculations. State education funding can largely be split up into two pools. The first is foundational funding. That's money that goes to school districts' operating funds, paying for things like teacher salaries, curriculum, and anything else needed to run schools. There's also state transportation money. That's money that goes to school districts to provide transportation for students. In the disparity test, DEED can exclude state student transportation funds. But that's not the only money many school districts spend on transportation. Some districts, like the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, use operating funds for transportation as well. Painter says DEED changed its calculations this year and tried to take those extra transportation funds out of the test calculations.
Under the way that they had submitted the test in prior years, they would have failed. So it was an attempt to try to pass by submitting the numbers differently. And so the federal government rejected that attempt.
DEED has 60 days from the day the letter was sent to appeal the decision and make different calculations for the test. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. And yesterday was Arbor Day in Alaska, a holiday dedicated to conserving forests and planting trees. KTOO's Alex Solomon brings us this snapshot of a tree planting ceremony in Juneau.
It's a sunny afternoon in Juneau's Evergreen Cemetery, where more than 40 children and adults gather to honor urban trees and plant native species. Linda Torgerson, a volunteer with the Juneau Urban Forestry Partnership, leads the group in a song. Trees provide clean air, wildlife habitat, food, and their roots hold soil in place. They offer shade from the sun, cover from the rain, and wood for burning and for building. Most other U.S. states honor their trees in late April, but Alaska's Arbor Day falls on the third Monday in May to align with the planting season here. Ben Patterson is the city's landscape supervisor. He says that the cemetery became a certified arboretum in October. It's a level one arboretum, since 41 species of trees and woody plants currently grow here. He's working on getting to 100 species, which will give the arboretum level two status.
So you're adding this little mountain hemlock, which is one of the native to Southeast Alaska, and the other Southeast native that we're planting this year are yellow cedar.
He says the city adds a couple of species every year. The yellow cedars were a gift from a member of the community.
At the time, they were only about 10 inches high. Now the ones we're going to plant, they're probably 3 feet high. Yeah.
Students from Harborview Elementary take turns shoveling dirt to make holes for the saplings. It's quick work with so many hands.
Did you get a turn with the shovel? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Adults joke that the kids might dig more holes than they have trees to plant in them. Patterson drops some soil back into the holes before plopping the yellow cedars in and patting the dirt into place around the roots. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it's currently 51 degrees and raining, and there's rain in the forecast through the rest of this week. For tonight, we've got rain with a low around 44 and a southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. And tomorrow, we've got more rain likely, and it's going to be mostly cloudy. This is KTOO.